Welcome to the Crossing Church Podcast, your weekly dose of sermon messages.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. My name is Zacharias Martinez Smith Lombard, and that's all of it. And I'm married to this beautiful wife of mine, Ilana. We've been married now for 20 years, just over. And we have two beautiful girls, Mignon and Miette, and they're here with us. And for us, we honestly see this as an incredible opportunity, number one, to align ourselves, all of us, align our hearts with that which is beating from the throne room, but also to partner with friends. It's an incredible thing that we can partner with friends. We don't need to import friends from or people from out in the world. We actually have friends that just walk together, and as we walk together, God does what only He can do. So for us, it's an incredible privilege. And in a sense, the picture that I want to open this evening up with is one of a train station. And this is the place where different tracks from all over the, at least our area here, comes together. And here we'll all be, in a sense, connected to the right track going on from here onwards. Ephesians chapter 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship and that He had prepared for us, and I want to paraphrase, a journey, a pathway, a train track, a plan and purpose for our lives, so that you and I can walk in that which is already prepared for us. And we're hoping out of this weekend or after this weekend and through this weekend, you and I will all be connected to that pathway that He prepared for us. Because at the end of the day, it's not about anything other than that which He had called and prepared for you and me to walk into. And we're hoping to unlock something of that for you over this time. So let me ask you a question. How many of you would love to receive a prophetic word this weekend? Okay, that was the easy part. Let me ask a difficult question. How many of you would love to prophesy by the end of this weekend? You know, that scripture says it's more blessed to receive than to do anything. Scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I think the problem today in the church universal is that we don't understand what it means to be blessed, because we all want to receive rather than to give. And God is wanting to reshape our thinking so that you and I will have a verdict, a conviction that actually it's much more blessed to give than to receive. Imagine what the church would look like in 6 months if every week we all come to church wanting to be more blessed by giving rather than receiving. How many of you know that this building is too small for that kind of thinking? At least one of you thinks that. That's good. It's a start. I mean, we'll get there. Is that right? So I'd love to pray for us, and then we're going to get jumping into the weekend. And I really would love for you to prepare your heart for what God wants to do. Is that right? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before You this evening, and we want to say, Lord, we actually don't know what we're doing. We want to give over to You and say, Lord, would You come and have Your way? Would You come and break open our minds, our hearts, and would You align us into all that it is that You have for us? We want to see Your name lifted up. We want to see Your kingdom manifest and shown among us. And Lord, I pray that every single one of us, Lord God, will come to the revelation and the understanding that You want to use us in building and establishing Your kingdom. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. How many of you know and feel and sense that God is about to do something new? How many of you sense that God is about to maybe release something that is beyond our wildest expectations and dreams? Now, the amazing thing is this, friends. In Amos chapter 3, it says that God will not do anything unless He has revealed it through the prophetic voice or to the prophets. You know, the amazing thing is that God, in His incredible wisdom, chooses to work with mankind. He chooses to, in a sense, align Himself or align them with Him. I don't know. I think it's what both of. And what He does is He uses us to unlock what it is that He wants to do. Which means that if God is about to do something new, which we all, in a sense, are feeling maybe in some way or another, please understand that God is waiting for you and me to prophesy that. Otherwise, it can't happen. He's waiting for us. We're not waiting for Him. And a couple of years ago, God spoke to me about this thing, and He said to me, Zach, I want to do something new because we're feeling it, but I'm waiting for the prophetic voice to declare what I want to do so that it can happen. And out of that, this thing was birthed, and in our hearts, we're wanting to raise up and establish a seedbed of the prophetic so that among us, God can raise up those who will declare the new things that He wants to do, and therefore, the next wave of God is coming. How many of you believe that God wants to bring revival to this city? How many of you believe God wants to bring revival to this nation? How many of you believe that God wants to take South Africa and use it as a beacon of hope for many broken nations out in the world? But we have to prophesy that. We have to hear God. We have to, like John, put our heads on his chest, hear his heartbeat, and then declare that in accuracy so that he can unlock the very things that he wants to do. But the reality is that many of us feel so ill-equipped and so unqualified that we don't step out into that which God is doing. But this weekend, I'm hoping you and I will catch the fire of his heart. So that we will understand, actually, it's not about me. Actually, it's not about my ill qualification. It's about what God is wanting to do. You know, there's an amazing story in Scripture about a man that Scripture says they could not even tie him with chains. Ever read that story? A man in the region of 10 cities, Decapolis. And what is happening is he's there and he's ruling and reigning in a sense, and they can't even bind him with chains. Everyone is petrified of him. He doesn't even wear any clothes. He's naked. He's staying in a graveyard. And Jesus simply arrives. Jesus doesn't come picking a fight. Jesus doesn't come declaring anything. Jesus simply steps into his arena, the area where he has authority. He simply puts his foot there. And we see that there's no fight. We don't see an arm wrestle. We don't see this man who can't be bound by chains coming and say, "Hey, what are you doing?" He comes begging for mercy. He says, "Please, don't torture me. Us, I don't know." And they start begging. They don't even start negotiating. They start begging because the King of Kings is here. And then we see what happens, as we all know the story, the outcome of it, is that this man is set free, and his whole life changes in a moment. And then the people from the city, long story short, they come to see what's happened, and they find this man, clothed, calm, sitting, chatting with Jesus. And they petrified. And this man comes and he says, "Can I come with you? Can I follow you?" Jesus said to him, "Well, you know what, actually I think it's a good idea. Because you need to be qualified first, you know. You need to walk with me. I need to disciple you. I need to train you. I need to make sure that you understand the word. I need to make sure that you understand the Father heart. I want you to know all that there is to know so that I can release you." Not true, is it? Jesus said to him, "No, sorry, buddy. You can't come with me, but you go and you tell people what I've done for you. You are qualified." Colossians 1:12 says that the Father has already qualified you. So let me tell you something. If you feel unqualified, please join the club. But that's no excuse. Actually, the fact that you don't feel qualified is your very qualification. Because now I can say, "I don't know, Lord, I depend on you." And God now can come and do the impossible through you and me because we can't do it. I love the fact that I can't do anything. That's my very qualification. Because if I thought, "Hey, Lord, you know what? I've got 7 years of Bible school behind me. You know what? I know the scriptures. And you know, I've prayed for people for deliverance, I've prayed for people for healing, and I've done those things. I can do this." You know what he would say? In his heart of hearts, I think his heart would be broken, and he would say, "Sorry, then you're disqualified." Because we can never be qualified for what he does. But when you and I come with a broken heart, with a purity of expression, and say, "Lord, I so depend on you," then he says, "Of course, I can rely on you. Yes, of course, I can use you. Of course, you're qualified because you have an understanding that it's not about you, but about me." I love that space of safety. Don't you? And I'm hoping that throughout this weekend, you will stumble into that understanding. That actually, God wants to use you. He's already using you, and you might not even be aware of it. And I want you to know that throughout this weekend, we're hoping to make clear to you the simplicity of following Jesus. The simplicity of hearing his voice. The simplicity of stepping in line with what he has for you and for me. Because the reality is that you can touch people where you are that I will never touch. That Brad will never touch. That any one of those elders will never touch because they're not where you are. God wants to make his manifest wisdom known. He wants to establish his kingdom and he needs you where you are. Please don't tell me I'm going to get to full-time ministry because you already are in full-time ministry. The moment you receive Jesus, he anoints you and he says, "You are my son, my daughter. I'm well pleased with you and I choose you and release you and send you this very moment." You know, there's a portion of scripture where Paul writes to the slaves and he says to the slaves, "Listen, I want you to remain where you are. Did you hear what I said? He said to the slaves, hey, I don't want you to change your position now because you love me. If you have an opportunity to be free, of course, go for it. But the reality is that there are slaves that need the gospel. And the best person to minister to a slave is a slave. Friends, you're in places where God desperately wants to touch people around your lives. How many of you know that where you are, there are brokenness all around you? Can I beg you? Please don't try and change that for the sake of ministry. Because then ministry is your mistress, not your call. Ministry is the heart of wanting to see the wholeness that Jesus brings. According to John 10, he says, I come to give life and give life to the full, abundantly, more than enough. It's needed where you are. But it happens when you and I actually de-spiritualize our lives, and I say that with a little bit of caution, because I think that Jesus doesn't want us to be super spiritual. Jesus wants you and me to be supernatural. And the only way we can be supernatural is when you and I are in the natural move and God breaks in with the supernatural. But the moment we become super spiritual, Jesus says, okay, well, you can do it. Then go for it. He loves the fact that we depend on Him. And that actually gives Him the ability and the license, I might say, to use you beyond your ability. And that's what we want. So this weekend, what we're going to do is from tomorrow morning, first thing, we're going to break up into three different groups. So for the moment, there's two groups. This group and the group that's with the kids. And please understand that the kids is not a babysitting service. So we're not keeping them busy. I'm telling you, we're changing their lives, and they're going to come and prophesy over you tomorrow. They're going to prophesy in your homes tomorrow, and you're going to see some radical things happen when you allow your kids to go to that space. So we're going to have the kids stream running tonight, and it's for all the primary school kids. So it's from 7 to 12, and if you're older than 12, you're welcome to join there, but I think it might be more helpful for you to stay. Yep, but it's your choice. But then over and above that, we have two more courses or streams that's going to run parallel for the remainder of tomorrow. And the one is, we call it demystifying the prophetic. So we're just going to take the prophetic and simplify it. We're going to unpack it, give you a biblical understanding of what it means to move in the prophetic and express maybe God's heart and desire through that with you. And we're going to allow God to speak to you so that you can hear Him and follow Him closely and safely. Second stream or course that we're going to run parallel to that is one we call going deep in the prophetic. Now, it's very important that you don't try and reason this out with your mind, because sometimes the mind is actually an obstacle. I want you to listen with your heart, because Jesus knows exactly what's going to be presented on both of those courses, and He knows what you need for your journey. You might be someone who's been prophesying for years, but there's something that's going to unlock more of the prophetic in your life that you might find at the demystifying the prophetic side, and vice versa. So we're going to give you another opportunity tomorrow, and we're going to discuss that in a little bit of detail before we start tomorrow. But tomorrow we're going to have the demystifying the prophetic. If you're brand new to the prophetic, I'm telling you, you're going to love it. It's going to be very, very practical, very explainable, and very tangible. It's going to be well within reach. And then we're also going to go deep in the prophetic so we can maybe shape each other on how to hear God more accurately and more ongoingly. Is that right? So that's going to happen tomorrow. And then tomorrow, before and after lunch, we're having something that we refer to as breakout sessions. And in those breakout sessions, we're going to focus the prophetic on specifics. For example, we're going to look at business. We're going to look at worship. We're going to look at journaling, how to be prophetic while you journal. We're going to look at many different aspects of the prophetic, breaking repeating patterns, how to receive a prophetic word, how to give a prophetic word. All those, there's many different ones. I think there's about 9 or 10 of them that we're going to do tomorrow. And anyone can choose any two of those. So we're going to do one session before lunch and another session after lunch. And they're just going to be a repeat one of the other so that you can choose two. And then we're hoping to really equip you in those moments to bring some traction into some areas of your life. We'd love for you to be here. And if you know of some friends that need to be here, then I need you to invite them to come tomorrow. We're going to have an incredible time, and we're done by 3 o'clock. So we start 8:30 for 9, and 9 o'clock sharp we start, so there will be coffees and drinks and all that available at 8:30. And then we're going to finish by 3. And lunch will be served, and we'd love to have you. Is that all right? Okay, so are you ready to start this weekend? Are you ready to start this weekend? Look at someone close to you and say, I am so expectant. And some of the guys go pale white. How many of you would love to be used of God in great power? At least two of you. Okay, that's great. How many of you would love to be used of God with great power?
Yes.
Amen. That gentleman there with the black shirt, what's your name, sir? Ian. Ian, there's such an evangelistic call upon your life. I feel that you're quite a rebel at heart, and you've been misunderstood by many. I'm telling you, God says you're a pioneer, and you will reach many people that don't know Him because you have a unique footprint. You have a place where you express yourself that's quite different to what most of us would face day to day. I'm telling you, God says He's anointed you to preach the gospel. The supernatural will flow from your hands. I'm telling you, God says step out in the unexpected, in the impossible, and He's going to meet you in the impossible by making it possible. I hope you're ready for this, buddy. You need to fasten that safety belt, because I'm telling you, when God's got your number, He's got your number. And He's going to speak to you this weekend in ways that is going to leave you just dumbstruck. He's going to use your home, I'm telling you. There's some radical things God's going to do with you. Great, anyway, let's get started. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and if you're there, you can say there. So what I'm going to do, or try to do, we'll see how it goes. So I'm going to try and give us just a big picture of where we're going for this weekend. I'm going to try and touch on many different aspects. So it might look a little bit like I'm touching here and there, not going anywhere, but I'm hoping to tie it all together towards the end of my session this evening. And then we're going to just run and see what God does. How many of you are really ready for something new? Friends, I'm telling you, the amazing thing is that we determine the depth in which God's going to work with us. Which means that if you have a great expectation, that's exactly the place that God's going to meet you. And I don't want us to limit Him tonight. I want us to have an expectation for Him to come and do a radical thing in us and maybe bring about a paradigm shift. Is that right? So I'd like to read for us. And before I do, I want to say this. This is a letter written by the Holy Spirit to a church. And many of us feel that our church maybe are not as good as the churches in the New Testament. Would you agree? I don't know about you, but I think that's what our reference often is. And don't show by hands because we don't want to embarrass anyone. But we always, in a sense, feel that we're not as good as those guys. Have you ever been there, done that? Got the T-shirt and the scars. Now, let me tell you something. The amazing thing about this church in Corinth is they were a really, really, really bad church. They were a struggling church. Let me tell you something, that they had huge parties when they were supposed to break bread together. Some of them got drunk. Has that happened in any of your meetings yet? Yeah, don't say anything aloud. You know what, friends? This is a church where some of them actually went around bragging about how sinful they could be. Go and read it. You know that they were a church that were at many, many struggling marriages. Go and read it. I'm not putting anything in the words of Scripture. I'm telling you, go and read it. You'll see that chapter 5 speaks about the immorality, the sexual immorality in particular that was just rampant in the church. Chapter 7 speaks about how we are to honor one another in marriage, and it speaks about marital issues. I'm telling you that this letter is not written to the perfect church. It's a letter written to a very much struggling church. A church that in every possible way are completely disqualified for what God wants to do in their thinking. And I want to tell you that you, irrespective of what church you come from, your church is better off than this church. I want you to know that before we start. Because we disqualify us. The enemy comes and says, well, you know what? We're talking about one of the early churches here. A church that was full of the supernatural and. Actually, there was a very struggling church, very much a struggling church. And this word that is given to this struggling church is as applicable to you as it was to them. So please understand that when we read this, you're better off than them. I was hoping for amen. I don't know. Do you guys say amen in the midrand? Okay. So we see here that God comes and he touches on certain aspects of the church and he brings, in a sense, redemption. Because reality, friends, is that even in the prophetic, I don't have to tell you what you're doing wrong. It doesn't make me anyone. I mean, how many of you know where you're going wrong? Okay, so I don't have to tell you that. So, right. You know where you're going wrong. But what's more important is you need to know what God wants to do despite that. And we're going to get to that in a moment. Okay. So what we see here is God comes and he speaks to the struggling church, and then he starts redeeming it, and he starts giving them instruction on how to sort those things out. And then he comes to chapter 12, and he's very excited about what he wants to do through you and me. Please understand that because of your brokenness, he came and died on the cross. I remember before Ilana and me got born again, we were sitting having a discussion with God on why we cannot be born again, because we still had so many things to sort out. Friends, it's true. And we live in that space, don't we? Well, Lord, I want to be used of you, but you know, I struggle with my anger problem. So you can't use me now. Let me just sort this out and then you can use me. Anyway. And then the Holy Spirit comes and he writes the following to you and me in verse 1. It says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." So what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and me is he wants us to understand how it works when he empowers us. Now, how many of you would love to be empowered by him? Okay, let me pause here for a second. Okay. Before Christ, we are lost, completely lost, doomed for eternity without Jesus. Okay? Doesn't matter how good you are, doesn't matter how well groomed you are, you're lost. Would you agree? But then God comes and he makes his sacrifice of his son available to you and to me. And when you and I see that incredible goodness of him shown towards us, we might or might not respond to that goodness. We might or might not respond to that sacrifice. But hopefully all of you have responded to that sacrifice. So when you saw the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, you maybe have said, "Yes, Lord, I need that. Can I have that price paid for me?" And then he comes and he shows mercy to you and me. He comes and he takes us and he applies his mercy to us. Now, mercy is undeserved, overwhelming goodness of the Lord focused towards you and me. And then he comes and he takes that mercy, and the purpose of that mercy is to take you and me, rescue you and me out of the kingdom of darkness, wash us clean with his blood, and then therefore we are acceptable before the Father. And from that moment onwards, we are always acceptable before the Father. Every time I cry out, "Daddy," he sees Jesus because we're in him. He doesn't see my sin. He doesn't see my faults, my failing, my defeats. He sees me already more than a conqueror. He sees me already victorious. He sees me already raised with Christ, seated in heavenly places. He sees me already with every spiritual blessing. He sees that over you. Mercy does that. Mercy takes you and changes your identity radically in the presence of Jesus and of the Father. It's done. Mercy does it. And the amazing thing is that I had nothing to do with it. Let me say something. If you had nothing to do in getting it, it can't now suddenly be something I have to do to keep it. You hear me? If I had nothing to do to get it, then please understand there's nothing you have to do to keep it. It's yours. It's done. It's done by the presence, the beauty, and the character of our Father in heaven. It's exclusively based upon his character, not upon your workings. Not upon your character, not upon your bloodline, not upon any of those things, because all of those things, may I remind you, are made new. I was hoping for an amen. I mean, how many of you are new? Well, it depends on how the day went, eh? Can I say that if Christ had made you new, you are new indeed? You know what the amazing... Let me not go down there. Okay, so that's what mercy does. But then we see, after I've been born again, after I've received mercy, then I have citizenship in heaven. I am already in high places. I am already with him in heaven. So I might not be there physically, but please understand my name is already in his palm. Which means that when he comes back, he's not going to dispute that. We're not going to give an account to see whether we're born again, because my name's already in his name. I don't have to go and prove it. It's done. It's settled. But now, I have to live in another reality. Because my old reality is gone. My old reality has died off. It's been buried. It's been nailed to the cross with Jesus. And it died and it's frotting somewhere. Is there such a word? Frotting. Frottering. It's stinking. It's bad. It's done. But friends, now I am a new creation, 2 Corinthians. Now I am made new. And now I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, Galatians 2. Now you and I are raised up into something new, and now I have to live with another reality, not my own. I have to now live with another reference, not my own reference. Not my ability, but his ability. And Scripture now says, now I live by grace. Now please understand, grace is not forgiveness. Because if we think grace is forgiveness, it gives you and me the license to live on the edge of sin. Grace is an empowerment. It's an ability. When I live by grace, I live by something that keeps me from sinning. When I live by grace, I live with something that makes me come supernatural, makes me more than victorious, makes me powerful. Not something that keeps me free. Because mercy has done that. I'm free. I'm set free. I don't have to ever worry about that again. I'm set free. But now if I live by grace, I now live by another ability that is made alive in me. And that's why it says, when it comes to, where's that scripture? Can we get it again? Now concerning spiritual gifts, brother, now what he's saying there, and it's been potentially translated into an understanding that is much narrower than God's intent. So God's intent there is to say, now when it comes to how I empower you, I want you to know how it works and not to be uninformed. He wants you and me to have an understanding of how he empowers us. And then he continues to explain that. And you can go to verse 4 for me, please. It says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. Say gifts and Spirit. So who gives us gift? Can you see that? Who's the Spirit? Say again. Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes and the Holy Spirit gives you and me gifts so that we can be empowered to be like Jesus. So a little bit further, we're not going to read it immediately, but we'll see there that the Holy Spirit gives us 9 different gifts. And verse 11 says, and he gives it to us as and when and how he determines. Which means that I don't have any say in which of those 9 gifts would be activated in me. I just simply put myself in a position, and he says, okay, this is the gift that I have for you. If someone got a bag for me, let me take this bag. I want to show you something. Okay, so the Holy Spirit comes alongside you and me, and he's got a tog bag, a kit bag, with all the gifts right in there. And now he walks alongside you and me. Mignon, come here, please. I want you to see this picture. So when Scripture speaks about God's empowerment, it says that he's our comforter, he's our advocate. We see all of that in John chapter 14. We see that he's the one that comes and empowers us. And the picture and the description of what it is there is this thing. Okay, so now the Holy Spirit leads us. Colossians 1:29 says, to this end I struggle laboring forth with his energy that so powerfully works in me. So he's the one that comes alongside you and me and empowers us. He's the one that has our ability with him. And then what happens? As I find myself in a place where healing is needed, she goes and she lays her hand on the sick. And the sick goes, no, not really. So she lays her hand on the sick. And she cries out to our Father in heaven because she has no ability in herself. And the Holy Spirit comes and says, here's the gift of healing. Go for it. People are healed. Why? Not because of us, but because of the Holy Spirit. Having the ability with him all the time. And he gives it as and when he determines. Now let's say, for example, I come into a situation where wisdom is needed. So she comes, she cries out to the Father, says, Lord, I need wisdom in this. Would you help me to encourage my friend? The Holy Spirit comes alongside and says, gift of wisdom, here you go. She comes, gives the gift of wisdom, bam. It's supernatural. But she stays who she is. She stays natural. Broken, needing Jesus. Obviously understanding that she's been made whole. Obviously understanding that she is qualified. Obviously understanding that she's leaning into his ability, not her own. And the Holy Spirit comes alongside us, and he just takes out of the goodie bag whatever we need any given moment. Thanks, love. So I want us to understand, friends, is that you don't get to a place where now suddenly, I've got 4 of the 9 gifts. Or 5 of the 9 gifts. You know, one of these days I'm going to be floating. Please understand that if you have the Holy Spirit, you have all 9 gifts. But you have to put your feet in a place where they are needed. If you didn't put your feet there, why would he give it to you? Because the amazing thing about the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, he will give us power, and that purpose is to witness. Well, I want the Holy Spirit. And the Lord says, I'll want to give it to you, but what are you going to do with it? Oh Lord, I just want to feel good. Sorry, I'm not going to give you the Holy Spirit. Because he's not about feeling good. He's about empowering you to witness. So I want to tell you, if you want to see the Holy Spirit activated, empowering you, please put your feet where witnessing is needed. Because that's the purpose. Why would God defeat his purpose for your sake? Actually, it's not about you, may I remind you. It's about who? About him and his kingdom. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So let's get off our behinds. And let's get our feet into the place. I love the sound effects there. Can we should practice this. Let's get into the place where the kingdom is needed. And then the Holy Spirit comes and he say, "Whew, there's someone that I can work with because I have 9 gifts available to them. All of them, all the time." Which means that you and I will never be put to shame. That's what Scripture says. If we trust in him, we'll not be put to shame. But the context is when I step out, not when I follow my own nose. How many of you have had the shame when you followed your own nose? And often we throw that back at God and say, "God, I love you, but here I am with shame." Well, maybe you didn't follow where he was going. So the Holy Spirit gives us, give us back chapter 12, verse 4, please. Thank you for the goodie bag. Verse 4 says, "There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit." Okay, so say again, gifts and Spirit. There's 9 gifts, and you can go and read them a little bit further on, but I want you to see that, that one of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives, it's a 6th gift listed, and that's the gift of prophecy. Now, let's read verse 5. "And there are a variety of services, but the same Lord." Who's the Lord? Are you with me? Jesus. And Jesus gives us gifts in the form of services. Say, Jesus serves. So friends, the amazing thing is that who's building the church? Jesus. So if you want to be activated in your gift in the church, what do you need to do? Simple. It's not rocket science. It's very simple. So I want to be effective in bringing out the body of Christ. So what I need to do? I need to come and serve. And then we see that there's 5 gifts that the Father gives us. Jesus gives us, not the Father. Jesus gives us in Ephesians chapter 4. It's apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Do you know that every single one of you in the church should be an evangelist? Every single one of you in the church should be a shepherd. Because you know, the reality is this. Let me just give you a little bit of context. If you walk through the doors on a Sunday morning, you're going to sit next to someone that no one else sits next to. And you're going to be able to shepherd them, love them, evangelize them, touch their lives like no one else. But it has to have a heart of coming to serve. We're coming and hoping to get something so we can just get through. And sometimes we even have our little crit sheet out. Let's see how the worship goes this morning. Okay, Brad, I hope you've got your preaching shoes on, buddy. Okay. Vince, can I appeal to you? You're limiting what God wants to do through you, if that's your mindset. God's mindset with you and me is, come to serve and I will enable you. What is the greatest thing anyone can do in the kingdom? Serve. Jesus says, the least will be the greatest. But we want to come into church and make sure everything is good enough for us. Because you know what? We have a certain standard. And I say that with love, friends. Please understand my heart. Can we get that scripture back again, please? We see the beautiful thing is that the Holy Spirit comes alongside you and me, 9 gifts. And the Son comes alongside you and me, 5 gifts. And all of them are for all of us, if we're willing to serve. All of us are there, all of it's there for us if we're wanting to be partaking in God with the understanding that He wants to empower us. Now, let's see this. "And there are a variety of activities, but the same God." Who's God? Can you see that, friends? The Father comes alongside you and me, and He gives us different activities. Please understand that when God wants to empower you and me, He doesn't only come in the form of the Holy Spirit. He also comes in the Son, and He also comes in the Father. And all three of them comes to partner. Excuse me, the anointing is rife. Get out the umbrellas. I'm so sorry. All three of them comes and they want to empower us. They want to walk with us so that His kingdom can be made manifest. The amazing thing is, we can go and read it maybe in Romans chapter 12. It speaks of the grace that God had given us. Speaking of the Father, speaking of the ability that the Father gives. And what, the first gift listed there is prophecy. It says, "Let him who prophesy according to his faith." So I just wanted to quickly show you that they are... three divinities, three personalities of this divine, incredible God that comes and partners with you and me. The Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And one of the gifts that all of them gives is the gift of prophecy. It's an amazing thing. And friends, I want us to understand that when we now go and we look at other portions of Scripture, which we'll do, please understand that the whole person of God is invested in this thing called prophecy. Let's go and read it together. Thanks, Brad. Yes, I'm going to promote you, buddy. Let's move that chair. And I love this man. How long have we known each other? Probably 7 years. Not long enough, true. Nay, I love it. One Corinthians chapter 14. So we're still in the same letter. We're still, in a sense, in the same seat as hearers. So the Holy Spirit is writing to us, to you and me, and he said, you've got all these mistakes, all these faults, that's how you sort it out. But then he says, listen, actually, I'm going to enable you to live in another reality. And then he comes and he starts explaining to us in chapter 12, and then he gets super excited. He comes and he says, well, the Spirit comes and he partners with us, and the Son comes and he partners with us, and the Father comes and he partners with us. We've just read that. And then he continues. He says, hey, and there's all these beautiful mind gifts. And he goes and he lists the gifts. He says, it's wisdom and knowledge and healing and faith. And he goes on, and there's nine of them that he lists, of which one of them is prophecy. And then he continues. He said, hey, but we one body, many different parts. And then towards the end of the chapter, he says, oh, and we this beautiful body working together, and God had appointed first apostles, second prophets, and he continues on. And then he interrupts himself. Because there's something important that follows. When God interrupts himself, there's a good reason for it. And he comes and he says, whoa, before we get carried away in this beautiful way in which he empowers us, we need to understand that love is the thing that keeps it all together. He comes and he writes this beautiful chapter of love. And he says, oh, love is the thing that makes all of it sustainable, all of it tangible. And he says, even if I prophesy and it's the greatest oracles in life, it's nothing if there's no love. If I have faith, which is another one of the gifts, then I can tell a mountain, go throw yourself in the sea. If there's no love, it's nothing. And he comes and he says, listen, the foundation of all of this is love. Friends, can I say something? That if you want to see these gifts come alive in you, please invest in love. That's the key. If I want to see that unlocked love on someone, I want to tell you, if I come here to my friend Gareth and I want to love him with the heart of Jesus, I'm telling you, all of the gifts are suddenly available for me. But if I want to, now it's okay, well, you know what? I've got the mic and there's a lot of people watching, so let me look good. That tap's closed. But if I want to love on someone, it's available. And it comes and it says, love is this great thing, and out of all of these things, the greatest thing is love. And then he comes back to where he, in a sense, interrupted himself at the end of chapter 12. Where are we? Oh, my Bible's in my hand, sorry. I'm looking for it everywhere. It's right here. Okay. Verse 1 in chapter 14 says this. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you might prophesy. Friends, let me pause there for a second. Think about this. You and I were enemies to Jesus. We spat in his face, turned our back on him, wanted nothing to do with him, serving our own lustful and fleshly desires. While we were there, while we were sinners, while we had our backs turned on him, while we wanted nothing to do with him, what did he do? They don't deserve me. I'm their maker, but yet they turn their back on me. No, not a chance. Father in heaven said, listen, I love these oaks. I want to make a way for them to be restored unto me because they carry my image, they carry my heartbeat, my spirit, my voice, my breath is in them. And I can hear in heavens, all is quiet because the Father is weeping. And the Son would say, here I am, Dad, send me. And Jesus comes while we are his enemies. And he comes down to this fallen, broken world, subject to the hands of men. And here he comes, while we were his enemies, while we had wanted nothing to do with him, he comes and he pays the ultimate price because of his love for the Father. You know what Scripture says? For he loved the Father so much that he did this. Out of his love for the Father, he comes and he says, Father, I'll be the bridge, I'll be the way, I'll be the one that connects you again with your sons and daughters. And he becomes, in that moment, the very sacrifice that makes it possible for you and me to be restored to our Father. And then, when you and I see this beautiful gospel, when we see this beautiful price, when we see this incredible sacrifice that he's made for us, we respond. We say, is it true? Can it be for me? And we say, yes. And you know what happens? When one of us comes to know him, whole of heaven celebrates. There's a party of note. Why? Because one has come to know him. You know what? There's no party in heavens for healings. There's no party in heaven for deliverance. There's no party in heaven for when blind eyes open or any of those things. But there's a party in heaven when one turns his back to the enemy and comes back to him. Massive party in heaven. Now we are restored to the Father. And every time I say, Daddy! He says, yes, my son, because he sees me in Christ. Now he says, listen, I want you to want something from me. I want you to ask me for something. You know what we think? We think now we're going to say, Lord, can I prophesy? He's going to say, no, you haven't prayed enough. You know what? I saw that you lost your temper when that taxi cut you off. Disqualified. You sinner. Friends, isn't it amazing that we live with that lie? He's done everything while we didn't deserve anything. Now we are in his son and we say, Lord, would you use me? What would he do? Excuse me? What would he do? He would say, yes! Here it is. Let's give more than you want, more than you need. Ah, abundantly. Because that's his heart. That's his desire. That's his wiring. Unfortunately for him and fortunately for us, it's always at his cost, our benefit. Always. And when you and I now come and we say, well, Lord, you want me to prophesy. And you and I come and say, Lord, please can I prophesy? I'm telling you, he's not going to say no. He's already done everything. He's made a way. He's made it possible. That's the very one thing he wants you and me to want. Now, if we come and we ask him for that, guess what? He's going to give it to us. He's not going to now withhold it. Now suddenly gets a stiff upper lip. Now we think that, friends. We do. We live in the fallen lie of the enemy. You know what? If he can't keep you from being born again, he's most certainly going to keep you from being active in the kingdom. Can I say something? If you're born again and you're not walking in the things of God, you're taking up space in the doorway of salvation. Please understand that Jesus wants you out of the doorway in salvation, of salvation. And he wants you into the presence of the kingdom. Into the activation of the kingdom. That's what he died for. Please understand that the message that Jesus preached, and the message that John the Baptist preached, and the message that the disciples preached, was not one of salvation. Only. It was one of another kingdom. It's one of an enablement, an empowerment, where we can take another reality, the reality of the kingdom, and pull it down into this reality and overthrow this reality with a greater reality. Amen. Friends, it happens when you and I actually get over ourselves and we realize that he's called you and me to make a difference. He's called you and me to actually walk under the power of his Spirit and then enabled by him to change the world. Now, please understand that Jesus is not coming back for a fallen, broken, abused bride. He's not coming to rescue us. Can I say that again? Because many of us live with the understanding, oh, everything is getting worse. He's going to have to come and rescue us. Can I lovingly ask you to slap yourself? He's not coming back for a broken bride. He's coming back for a spotless bride. He's coming back for one that is in proportion to his head. Him, without spot or blemish, perfect in every single way, already ruling and reigning. It can only happen when you and I have an understanding that he's given you and me the ability to change. Change ourselves, change our households, change our circumstance, change our world. You and I, we are the answer. We are the solution. We are the very thumbs up that God gives this world. Do you know that when God loves a city, he gives that city a church? Say, can I say that again? You are God's answer to this city. Because when you and I, in our brokenness, can show the world that God can do something incredible through us, there's hope. But when you and I are perfect first, I'm telling you, there's no hope. If we become the super spiritual beings, there's no hope. But when we are tangibly leaning into Jesus, asking Him to intervene in our lives and overthrow the reality through you and me, I'm telling you, there's hope. That's what He's wanting for us to do. He's coming as a Son and as a Father and as the Holy Spirit to partner with you and me. Let's continue a little bit. How many of you are ready for this? I'm telling you, Boot, God is going to... I can't say Boot because there's some ladies here as well. Boot and Bootessa. Bootessas. God's going to do something tonight. How many of you can feel it? The Lord's bookie. Yeah, I love where this is going. Okay, cool. Verse 1 says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Verse 3 says, for anyone who prophesies, speak to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. How many of you can do with strengthening? Okay, how many of you can do with comfort? How many of you can do with encouraging? Now, friends, let me just give a little bit of flesh to this. Again, imagine you and I come to church. But let's make it a little bit more tangible. Imagine you and I go to work. Imagine you and I go to our homes. Imagine you and I go back to our families. Imagine you and I go to the context where we find ourselves. And our heart, our aim, is to encourage, comfort, and strengthen. How many of you know that our lives would radically change? How many of you know that if we stop sharing all the negative nonsense on Facebook and start sharing encouraging, comforting, and upbuilding stuff on Facebook, we'll see things change? Now, friends, let me pause there for a moment because I'm gonna potentially get onto my stokperkie paard. You know what that is? It's a hobby horse. My stokperkie paard. Hobby horse, no. It's a direct translation and not, yeah. Okay. My hobby horse. You know, Scripture says that in the tongue, we have the power of life and death. Why do we only apply that negatively? Can I say that again? Why do we only apply that negatively? What will happen if you and I start applying this positive, that thing? What will happen if you and I start applying it positively in every day, in every moment? If someone comes and they moan, you say, yes, but. If someone comes and say, this can't, you can say, yes, it is. Is anything too hard for him? Is anything impossible for him? Friends, if you and I have a clear understanding that the power of life and death is in our tongue, I'm telling you, we have to change our world. We have to change our churches. We have to change our families. We have to change our workspaces. Why? Because there's power that God had given us. And the enemy knows that if he can keep you from that reality, he's winning. Prophecy will always have a result in comfort, strengthen, and encourage. I've just read it. Okay, now let me pause here, because some of you might say, well, you know what, Zach, I am the prophet. And you know what, the prophet has a different application at times. Okay, well, let's look at that. Go to Acts, Handelinge, 15. Acts, chapter 15. If you're there, you can say there. I don't know. We'll find it in a moment. Verse 32. If you're there, you can say there. Acts chapter 32. 15 verse 32. Sorry. Thanks, love. Okay. Before you read it, don't put it up yet. How many of you know that if the Holy Spirit says that you are a prophet, you are probably a prophet? So we're not gonna doubt what the Holy Spirit says. Would you agree? If Scripture says someone is a prophet, I think it's safe to say that he or she or they are prophets. They're not those guys in the shallow ends of prophecy. They carry the weight of the prophets. You with me? Okay, listen to this. Verse 32, you can give it to us. Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets. Say prophets. Judas and Silas were prophets. They were New Testament prophets, and they carried the full governance of the prophets, and they carried the full mantle of being prophets. Listen to this. It says, themselves were prophets. They encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. What do? They encourage and they strengthen. Amazing thing is, if you go and do a little bit of a word study on what that word strengthen and what that word encourage means, it means to encourage on the foundation of comfort. It means to strengthen on the foundation of comfort. It's an amazing thing that even the prophets encourage, comfort, and strengthen. Friends, let me tell you something. You can never get beyond that. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how well you prophesy, doesn't matter what kind of mandate God had given you, you can never move beyond encouraging, comforting, and strengthening. You know what, we sat with people once, and they said to us, you know what, Zach, God had given us a kick butt ministry. Friends, I honestly don't see that in Scripture. There's no such thing as a kick butt ministry. There's no such thing as a corrective ministry. There's no such thing as, hey, I'm going to show you your worst so that you know God knows your worst. Can I tell you something? That God knows what your worst is and you know what your worst is, and let's leave it at that. Gideon stands in a wine press. How many of you know wine press is the wrong place to be threshing wheat? I won't say that word. He's very scared. He's petrified. And God comes and God speaks to him, not in his place of weakness. God speaks to him into his new identity. God says, hey, mighty man. And in that moment, I think he probably had to change his underwear. Because he was thinking, where? God was speaking to him. Friends, when God speaks prophetically, he never speaks into where you were. He speaks into where you're going. Amazing, there's an Old Testament prophet. Now, some of you might say, well, Old Testament prophets this, Old Testament prophets that. Let me show you something. There's an Old Testament prophet. God comes and knocks on his door. Opens the door, and here's God. And God says, hello, I've got a call for you. And he says, yes, sure, Lord. What's the call? God says, listen, those enemies of yours, you know about them. I want you to go to your enemies. I want you to tell them I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to give them a hiding. I'm going to sort them out, six love. I want you to go. Now, I don't know about you, but if that was me, I would say, here I am, Lord, send me. Guess what this oak does? He packs his bag with a good lunch for the road because he's going to travel far. And he runs the opposite direction. Why would you do that? Honestly, God had given you probably something that your heart wants. And you have to go now tell your enemies, hey, God's on my side. We're going to sort you out. He runs the opposite direction. God comes, intervenes, resets the whole thing. Then he goes to this very place, Nineveh. And he comes with a message, and God does something miraculous. Chapter 4 reveals a beautiful thing. God comes to him and says to him, listen, buddy, why are you so upset about a simple tree that has no meaning? Here were so many people, 120,000, who didn't even know the right from the left. Listen to what he says. He says, God, as a prophet, listen, he says, God, this is the very reason why I ran the opposite direction. Because you are a God that is slow to anger, quick to forgive, and abounding in mercy. Friends, if you are a prophetic understanding, if you're a prophetic expression, you have to understand the heart of God is always to redeem. Even as an Old Testament prophet, he knew that God is quick to forgive, slow to get angry, and abounding in mercy. It never changes. If we have a prophetic understanding and I'm going to come and sort you out, please, it's not the biblical understanding. God wants you and me, as the prophetic voices, to bring a redemption, to bring a restoration, to bring a love and something of God's preferred pattern for us. But friends, the reality is the good news is not that good if God comes and claps us all the time. There's nothing appealing about that. And let me tell you something, all the other gods are like that. Not our God. Our God becomes the very sacrifice that will reveal to us a preferred pattern that's better than where we come from. So when we want to truly be a prophetic people, we have to have a heart that is shifted and understands that God comes to bring redemption, forgiveness, and restoration. If we miss that, we miss everything. And if you and I will have a heart that will allow God to do exactly that, I'm telling you, God can trust us. So let me ask you, how many of you would love to bring redemption and restoration of other people's lives? How awesome is that? How awesome if you can come to someone and say to them, listen, I forgive you. Some of you might say, well, that's blasphemy. Well, God says, Jesus himself says in John, when he comes to his disciples and he breathes over them, he says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, if you forgive anyone their sins are forgiven. If you forgive them their sins. Imagine you go to the worst of the worst and you look them straight in the eye and you say to them, I know where you've been and I forgive you. Suddenly, heaven comes alive. And now, if we can then tap into God's preferred pattern, friends, I'm telling you, we're changing the world we're in. Then, heaven can come and be made real in our reality right this moment. In that moment, God comes and he brings encouragement, comfort, and strengthening that just brings us into a whole new level. Friends, I want us to understand, even before we do anything, love is the foundation on which we stand. It's the thing we build on without exception. Encouragement, comfort, and strengthening is the perimeters to prophetic always. Can I say with all gifts, that's the perimeter. Now, there are moments where the governing body, which is the eldership team of any given church, where they might walk with you through a time of discipline, through a time of direction, through a time of bringing adjustment. But friends, it's a private affair. It's not a public declaration. Can I say that again? Can I ask if you can please forgive me as a representative of the prophetic if you've been exposed to anything but that? Will you please forgive us for the way it's been ill presented to you? It's not God's heart. Please understand that. His heart is to bring redemption, restoration, and fullness of life to you. Your past is in the past. That's why it's called the past. Can I say that he wants to bring to you a hope and a future? You know, the amazing thing is, we all know this portion of Scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. So is my word that proceeds from my mouth. It'll go and accomplish that which I set it for. It'll not return to me void. And that plan is to give you hope and a future, not to harm you. You know what the amazing thing is? That was spoken to a nation while they were in exile. Go and read verse 1 in chapter 29. They were a people that were in exile in Babylon. God, you've forgotten about us. How is it possible? And God says, hey, I've got plans and purposes for you. And those purposes are not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future. Why would it be different today? That was the Old Testament, the previous covenant. Even more so today, he wants to make that alive in you and me. And I want to tell you, if you and I will allow our hearts to be changed and aligned and realigned to that purpose, suddenly we're going to see a nation change. Suddenly we can see a church change. Suddenly we can see community change. Suddenly the hope of God can come into our context. Can we turn to one more scripture? And then we're going to get going on the back of that. So right, quickly, very, very quickly, Psalms 139. Are you there? This young lady here with a sweat top, or what do we call that? Yeah. You, what's your name? Amy. Amy, you are so precious. You are so precious in the presence of our Father. I want you to know that he has said that you have been made creative. He's made you to express something of a unique flavor and of a unique way of doing things. I don't know exactly what it means, but I see you with a pen in your hand. You might be drawing, you might be writing, you might be doing something creative. I'm telling you, God says there's something special inside of you that will minister to many. I feel God is saying that you will have a voice into those who have been misunderstood and even left out of society, and you're going to be able to bring them back into the wholeness. I feel God is saying that you will have a well to draw from, that many that don't know how to drink will come and drink from you. Many that don't know how to drink will come and drink from you. There's an incredible new season upon your life. God is saying, don't be limited by the disappointments of yesterday, but allow him to bring you a hope and a future that'll be more than what you can imagine. I feel God is saying, is don't change what you believe for. Don't change what you trust for, because he's the God that'll meet you at your place of need. He's the God that'll meet you at the place of trust. Incredible season on your life. Do you have your heart to see people healed?
There's a healing anointing on you. I feel God is saying you're going to lay hands on the sick and you're going to see them radically restored. I see limbs grow. I see eyes that was not there. Glass eyes fall out because the real one is growing. I see God doing, extraordinary miracles through you. The miraculous, tangible in your hands. God says you have to contend for it. That's the only way it's going to open up. Lady there with the red hair, you are a fireball. What's your name? Say again. Karen. Yes, Karen, you're a fireball. I'm telling you, you are unstoppable with the things of God. You will run through walls. You'll break through things. There's a pioneering spirit inside of you, and you are very hard-headed and stubborn at times. And God says He loves that because He needs that as a tenacity to break into new things. I see you walking in jungles. I see you walking in places that are fearful for many to go into. And I'm believing God is saying He's calling you to open up new things. There's an evangelistic call upon your life. I see hundreds, if not thousands, come to know Jesus because of the preaching that's on your mouth. I feel God is going to anoint you to preach the gospel in such a powerful way that signs and wonders will be seen all over your life. Left, right, front, back. God says He's going to overtake you with His goodness. And what is impossible for you is not impossible for Him. He's saying to you tonight, there's a dream in your heart and it's time for you to believe Him for that dream. Is anything too hard for me, says the Lord. Is anything too hard for me, says the Lord. Believe Him for the impossible. I see supernatural provision for you to buy the tickets that you need. I feel God breaking up new ways and new doors for you so that you can run further than you ever thought possible. But God says, I have called you, therefore I have set you aside for something special and spectacular. His fire is going to burn in you so powerfully. I'm telling you, people are going to come into your presence and they're going to feel the heat of God all over them. And they're going to say, what is this? And you're going to be able to tell them what the gospel of Jesus is all about. And you're going to see them come to know Jesus. I see you just touching lame and they stand up and they walk. And it'll be part of everyday life for you. It won't be anything strange. God says that you are called to be an evangelist. And there's a prophetic call upon your life to even speak into difficult situations. And God's going to shape things as you speak. God says the power is in your mouth to change things. Don't be quiet. You've been told to be quiet. I'm telling you, God says don't be quiet. It's time to speak things, the things that's in your heart. Declare them. Shout them from the rooftops. Don't be quiet. I want to tell you that God is wanting to remove some labels that's been placed in your life. Right now, I remove those labels in the name of Jesus. Could you stand for me? Can I get one or two ladies to just come and minister with me here? Just some of our ladies from the team. Come and stand. I want us to do a prophetic action. And I want to remove some of the limitations that's been spoken over you. I want to remove some of the labels that's been placed upon you. I want to take the stuff that's been placed on you to limit you. I want to remove it right now in the name of Jesus. We take it off, Lord, and I release it into all of what you have for. Lord, I take it out of the old and I'm pulling it into the new. I'm pulling it into the new, Lord. And I say that you have called her for such a time as this. Ladies, can we just lay hands on her? Let's just pray with her. Lord, I come and I declare a new season over her, Lord. I come and I take off the chains of the past, Lord. I come and I declare the null and void. And I declare over her, Lord God, a purpose and a future, Lord. I pray that your Spirit will come right now with great fire, Lord. And we anoint her right now in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, fill her up right now, Lord. Fill her up right now, Lord. Would you come with great power, Lord? Would you come and make new? Lord, we come and we break the old and we release the new. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. We're just going to allow the ladies to continue to minister there. I want us to go to Psalms 139. I hope you're ready for this. Psalm 139. Friends, I just want to pause here for a moment. I feel that there are some people here tonight that live under a great disappointment. And God wants to remove that and break that. If that's you, just stand for me. God wants to break something tonight. Stand for me, please, ma'am. That's you. If you live under a great disappointment, just stand, because God is wanting to remove some labels. He wants to remove some limitations over your life tonight. If that's you, just stand. But please understand, it's nothing I can do or any of us can do for you. It's something that God wants to do. There's more people that need to stand. God is wanting to remove limitations from yesterday. Great disappointment. Stuff that's been said over you, spoken over you. Circumstances that have told you that you will not make it. I come against that now in the name of Jesus. Would you open your heart, lift up your hands if you can. Just do that if you're comfortable with that. And I want you to receive the Father's approval of you. I want you to just receive His goodness over your life right now. So Lord, right now, I want to release your goodness over everyone standing, and even those, Lord God, that in their hearts need to be standing. I release it over them right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I remove the root of the disappointment. I remove the root, Lord God, of limitations. Lord, I remove the root of a false identity that is not what you have for us. And Lord, I release over them the sonship and the daughterhood, Lord God, of what you have for them in the name of Jesus. I declare them well, I declare them approved. I declare them, Lord God, acceptable in your presence. And Lord, I come and I speak life and I speak purpose and I speak destiny over them in the precious name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, that nothing is too hard for you, nothing is impossible for you, that this is a day of new beginnings and that there's something new that you're doing even in this moment. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're going to have more opportunities like this, so it's not done yet. Okay. I want us to read this together. Psalm 139. I want to read for us out of the New Living Translation, which might be a little bit different to yours. And it says this. O Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know me when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. How many of you feel disqualified right there? Maybe it's just me. God knows my heart. And I want to tell you, if he sees everything that's in there, I'm disqualified. I don't deserve any goodness. I don't deserve any of His favor. I don't deserve anything that He has for me because He has seen my heart. Now, I don't know what's in my heart, and I'm so glad you don't. Then it continues. Let me just find my way again. You see me when I travel, when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. Sheesh. Huge no. You are disqualified. That's what my heart says. God says, I know all these things about you. And then it goes on. It just continues on and on and on. It says that He was there even in the dark when I was shaped in my mother's womb. And listen to this, what it says. Let's go up down there. Verse 16. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Friends, can I tell you that God just showed you and me that even before we were shaped in our mother's womb, that every single day of your life was recorded in His book. Do you know that there's no such thing as a mistake? Do you know that you were not a mistake? Because He said, before I shaped you, I had every day recorded. You know, let me tell you something, friends. There might be some unplanned parents, but there's no such thing as unplanned children. Can I say that to you? Because reality is that sometimes we come into the world and we feel unplanned and therefore rejected. And I'm telling you, God says you cannot be rejected because before it happened, I wrote everything down. Everything in your life has been written down before you were made. Listen to this. Verse 17. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. Let's pause there. Friends, the amazing thing is that even if God knows all about me, even if God knows my very thoughts, even if He knows my words before I say them, and even if I don't say them, He still knows them. It says that despite that, His good thoughts towards us is more than the sand on the seashore. Can I tell you something? That there's not one bad thought that God has towards you. Maybe you didn't hear me, because I was hoping for a raucous amen. I was hoping for a celebration, some dancing on the chairs. You know that God has not one bad thought about you. He only has good thoughts. Thank you. He only has good thoughts towards you. And Scripture says that the good thoughts that He has towards you is more than the sand on the seashore. Now friends, let's put this into perspective. None of us qualify. Can we settle that? None of us qualify to be used of God. None of us qualify to be blessed by God. Luckily, it's not based on your and my qualification. It's based exclusively, wholeheartedly on the presence and the character of our Father. That is the full beginning and the end, and everything in between.
And now Scripture comes and says, over every one of us, there's this download of good thoughts that is there for over every single one of us, and it never changes. Then God says, listen, I want you to prophesy. I want you to have a heart to put your head into that download space of His good thoughts over us. Then I want you to take that little bit of insight that you might have and give it to them. I want to tell you, the best is yet to come. I want to tell you, at many times you felt your season is coming to an end. All of those things that you dreamt for, all of those things you wanted to do for Jesus, is not going to happen. I'm telling you, God says, He's going to make your latter days greater than your former days. I'm telling you, God says that you will shape young lives in profound ways. I'm telling you, God says He's going to use your mouth to give instruction to young ones that will stand on your shoulder and they will overtake your wildest dreams of what is possible. I'm telling you, God says that you are a significant woman of God and is going to use you in significant ways. It is not over yet. There's great restoration over your life. I want to tell you, God is wanting to redeem some things and bring you into an open space that you never thought possible. You even sat and I see how you sit and you weigh things up and you work things out and you just come to the end and say, okay, well, it's not possible. I'm telling you, God says it is possible. I'm telling God says He's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. He says it's not the end, it is merely the beginning. Don't give up on the dreams that He's given you. So we thank you. The best is yet to come. So we come and we put our head into the download space of what God has. And then as we do that, we can then come and take His preferred pattern, His preferred future, and just break it open over people's lives. And then we become significant when it comes to the things of God. Then we can start seeing the things that God wants to do in us and through us become a reality, because it's not about us. I'm simply putting my head into the download space of God's good thoughts. How many of you would love to be able to do that? Okay, maybe you didn't hear the question. It's not a difficult question, I promise. How many of you would love to change your world and the world around you simply because you have the heart to put your head into God's download space over people's lives? God says the path that is defined for you, Brad, I'm talking to you. Okay. I just want to make sure that you know I'm talking to you. I know you're typing it out. I want you to know that God says that the path that is defined for you is a unique path. I feel God is saying that you've been running a pattern, you've been living a pattern which has been great. I feel God is about to redo that pattern. I feel God is saying there's another lane and another path, another pattern that is given you, and it's time for you to, in boldness, take that pattern and establish that with wholehearted, unapologetic boldness. Telling you, God says you are to walk in your own footsteps, in your own shoes, in your own path. Watch this space. You will unlock revival in this church. Telling you, God says from this church you will plant many churches. I'll leave some of the stuff for Sunday. Watch this space. God says, be ready to change your shoes. He's got new shoes for you. Brad Lane shoes. Blue suede shoes. So friends, I have a great expectation for this weekend. I'm trusting that God's going to do some radical things in us and through us. But we and I, that means everyone, okay? We have to say, God, here I am, use me. Here I am, send me. This is me, Lord. Use me. Do what you want to do through me.